Whoa, over the last couple hours, let's take a little break and talk about spirits, hauntings, and possessions. And we're going to do that next with Vincent Jenna on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Vincent Jenna, the world-renowned psychic healer, very respected spiritual teacher, and dynamic speaker who receives and deciphers messages from the other side. Now, what separates Vincent's approach from some of his peers is that he interprets the messages he receives by providing solutions and the inspiration you need to stop stopping yourself. Vincent transcended a youth emotional, physical, and sexual abuse for the past 31 years. Now he has dedicated all his talents to inspire people to believe in themselves. He's heard and seen regularly on national programs, including ours, local television shows. Vincent Jenna, back on Coast to Coast. Hello there, Mr. Psychic. How are you?
Hey, I am doing great, George. It has been such a long time. I miss you.
Well, we all miss you too, my friend. What have you been up to?
Oh, I've been keeping myself busy. I've been finishing a book that I'm waiting to be published as we speak.
Do we have a title? Can you release the title?
Yes, it is. It's called God, It's Not Working. What one man found that makes everything you attempt work. So I tell what's not working, why it's not working, and how to get it all working again. And boy, this world needs that.
When I introduced you as a psychic healer, spiritual teacher, how do you like to introduce yourself?
Well, I am. I am a psychic medium and just that, a spiritual teacher. I will help you unblock whatever is keeping you from creating the life that you so want. And if my psychicness helps you with that, if my mediumship helps you with that, if my spiritual understanding and wisdom that is downloaded helps you with that, then that's what I am called. So it's more about your need than it's my title.
Yep, indeed, indeed. Now let's talk about some current events, Vincent, what's been going on, then we'll get into some spirits, hauntings, and possessions. What a strange, stressful time for so many people. Do you feel it wherever you go?
Oh, absolutely. George, you just put it so politically correct. I've got to tell you, that was absolutely beautiful. I turn around and say, the world is going nuts. What the heck is happening out there? Yes, I feel it. I feel it every day, and I see it in the people that are coming to me. The things that are going on in their lives are increasingly dramatic, and it's in crisis mode. So it's not a matter of, oh, I'd love to find a new boyfriend. You know, I'm tired of the one that I'm with right now. Am I going to find a new love? You know, that's simple stuff now. Or I have absolutely no money. Am I going to make more money? That's simple stuff. Now I'm getting people with, I'm close to death.
Oh my!
You know, my health is terrible. They've kicked me out of my house. Everybody is abusing me. When is this torment going to stop? It's everything has become exacerbated, George, because of what's going on.
Has the negativity increased, Vincent?
Totally. And
that's
and I
not
cannot
good.
Be fooled by the idea that things are getting better now. Also understand, I am a believer in that we have the ability to turn everything around, and I also believe that at the darkest tunnel, there's light at the end of that tunnel, but you go through all of that darkness first before you get to the light. So maybe that's what we're going through right now, but I'm telling you, it's darker now than it has ever been before, and if we keep fooling ourselves and talking ourselves out of that, we won't spend the time trying to actively heal it.
In Orlando, Florida, five people dead. Perpetrator commits suicide. He, you know, goes into a place where he had been fired, and he's disgruntled. He kills. What's happening to people?
Like I said, everything is becoming exacerbated. So now you get upset because you're not working there anymore. You're angry. It is so easy today for people to pick up a gun, to go in with a bomb, to not only kill them, kill themselves.
Well, that's what happened. He killed himself.
Absolutely. Now, a lot of theorists will say that because media, because everybody these days wants to blame media for everything, media is the result of the society, not the cause of the society, okay? And they want to say that what it's done is it's allowed people to become desensitized to killings, to murders, to death. And so now anybody can pick up. You know what? There have been cowboy and Indian movies since television has been made. There have been war movies since television has been made. And back in the old times, that didn't cause some family, some kid, to pick up a gun who was disgruntled because the kids in school picked on him a little bit, that he goes into school and shoots somebody. And I'm a perfect example of that. I was completely bullied in school until I was 17 years old. There never came a thought in my head to go get an Uzi and shoot up my class. Okay, it wasn't in there. And media had television and movies all over the place that I watched every single day, be it combat, be it anything, McHale's Navy, I don't care. I never had that idea. So nothing is being put into a person. What's happening is their anger and rage, number one, is being brought to the surface. And then number two, it's the water cooler syndrome.
Yeah,
being
exactly.
Exacerbated by everyone else's negativity. So that's what's really happening. Your neighbors are angry. The energy is laying in the air. When you take a deep, relaxing breath of beautiful, clear oxygen, it's not clear. It's loaded with negative stuff. And so you're pulling that in at the exact same time you're feeding your body with oxygen.
Here's an amazing story out of Jackson, Mississippi. The University of Mississippi's Medical Center apparently has known for some time that close to 7,000 bodies are buried underneath the medical center on its campus. And apparently there was a mental institution there, and that these people were deceased patients from the asylum from 1855 to 1935. That place has got to be haunted.
The place is not only haunted, it's radiating such negative energy. Jackson, as well as so many other communities in Mississippi, have devastating experiences. One, any hurricane that comes through, it tends to wipe out their area tremendously, completely. The last one, Katrina, caused such devastation over there. Two, their financial status over in Mississippi. 67% of the citizens are experiencing financial crisis. And three, not only that, it's also considered the fattest state and the most unhealthy state. And that is because of all this negativity. So the 7,000 bodies is part of it. Throughout the rest of this state, there's got to be even more of that. And George, that's the type of thing that's not only all over that city and state, it's all over a bunch of hot spots in the United States and in the world. Think of the history and how many people have been on the earth and how they've died. We would love to think that our bodies, you know, it decomposes, it adds to the pretty tree out there. As a matter of fact, you can actually, when you die, be turned into a tree.
Huh.
You know, they burn you, they put you in a planted pot, and now they bury you in your daughter's backyard, in your son's backyard, so you can haunt the hell out of them for the rest of eternity, and grow a fruit tree in the backyard or something, and they think that that's it. What about the energy? What about the negative energy you may have left behind? Where does that go? We know scientifically energy doesn't decompose. Energy does not disintegrate. It cannot be destroyed. It can be left behind. It can devastate the area, and it can perpetuate even more garbage. And I absolutely believe that that's part of what's going on today. I used to go to Chicago all the time. The television network down there had me come in, WCIU, and I used to do a lot of healings of haunted places. We have these great paranormal shows. You have guests on all the time that are talking about these places that are completely spooked and haunted all over
sure.
the place. because of what's in the ground. Chicago is a prime example of that. They have a major park. So that institution in Mississippi is buried on top of 7,000, and they were insane at the time, people, okay? Over in Chicago, one of their prime parks, Lincoln Park, is built on top of 10,000 bodies because it used to be four different cemeteries before it was the park. In the 1800s, they took the land by the lake and they made it a Jewish cemetery, a Catholic cemetery, a veteran cemetery, and a civil cemetery for local citizens that didn't have enough money for their own plots. 100 years later, the council decided, hey, that's prime land over there. They just had the fire, so it wiped out a lot of the wooden tombstones and markers. So they turned around and they said, you know what, let's take that land back. And it was discovered that it was a total nonsense that they tried to move some of the bodies. They got none of the bodies moved. And they decided to build the park on top of the 10,000 bodies and just desecrate a sacred spot, a sacred spot. One of the reasons why Indian burial grounds have such negative and cursing type of situations with it is because the Indians revered death and the deceased. And when they buried them, those were sacred grounds. Now, you desecrate a sacred ground by upturning it, building something on top of it. They truly believed that that would cause negativity to happen to anybody who is living in that area. Well, it does happen because we do revere burying people in the ground. That's the way we make closure. So we as humans, that the living put energy into that, right? Here's where mom is buried. Here's where dad is buried. This is a special spot. Put them under the shaded tree. It looks beautiful over here. Then all of a sudden, the deceased can feel closure to, okay, that's where my body rests. It's nice and peaceful there. And then all of a sudden comes a bulldozer because they want to put a petting farm or a zoo or a playground on top of where they just buried you.
It's like Pet Cemetery, isn't it? But with people.
Yes. It is a Stephen King movie going on right now all over the world because of that. And so they built on top of this cemetery, and as they're excavating, they're bringing up human remains, and they're surprised because of the negative stuff that happens in that area. Oh my goodness, Chicago has such a hard time. Oh my goodness, the politicians are corrupt. Of course they're corrupt. There's negative stuff and mafia bodies all over the place in that damn place. So it's just like, the places are so packed with negativity, and then people add to it.
Is there evil there or just negativity?
Well, here's the thing. Evil is negativity at its highest peak. So we're the ones that turn something evil. Okay, the word evil is live backwards. The word live backwards. Well, it's that way for a reason. When you live disconnected from the God source, the higher source that created you, your power, you're said to be living backwards. Well, when you live backwards, it appears like evil, very negative.
Right.
So it's negativity in its highest form. No, there's no demons. There's no devil playing ground. It's our playing ground, George. And it's such unbelievable nonsense that goes on with it. And here, a lot of people ask me, why is the Middle East? Why does such hatred and negativity come from the Middle East? Because that was the beginning of time and civilization. That was the cradle of civilization. So negativity began there. We started killing each other there. That negativity, those bodies and negativity are buried in the ground. It's perpetuated there. There's only one way that that's going to stop. You're going to have to get the most powerful exorcist and psychic medium coming in there and healing that dang place, or make everybody move. That would probably be easier.
How do you heal a place like that, Vince?
Well, I've had the ability to do some. These paranormal shows are fantastic because it validates that there's some lost spirits there. The only thing that the paranormal show doesn't do is anything after that. All right, so what do you do with those spirits? All right, we are our brother's keepers. Believe it or not, dead or alive, we still are our brother's keepers. So even as mediums, I help the deceased by making that connection, by helping them to have closure, by helping them to fix something with the living. So therefore, the power is still in our hands. So now take a ghost. The ghost is roaming around because he or she didn't cross over, filled with negativity, filled with hatred and anger to all different levels and degrees. The only thing that heals that is love and compassion. So I have literally gone into some of the most famous haunted places, and I can do that anywhere, and speak exactly with those spirits and do the best I can to convince them to find the light. Now, any living soul can bring in the light for a lost soul. We have that power. The moment I invoke it, the moment I ask my own guides, the angels, please show the light down to these people here, to this person over here, that will open a doorway. My desire, my love, my care opens that portal. And now that person has the ability to step through that portal. And by me trying to tell them, you can move on, things can be better. Now, honestly, a lot listen, because they are stressed out, because they are looking for some type of way out, and they trust me. A lot are still afraid. And just the same as the living that don't want to listen to some of the things that I may teach them because of their own free will, well, the dead don't have to listen either. So I can't help everybody, but that's what I do. I bring in the light first. That's what prayer does. It's why we pray. Most religions have some type of prayer for the lost souls. In Christianity, it's purgatory and limbo. In all the different religions, it's called something else. That prayer brings in the light, and it helps the soul that's stuck here to cross over. So that's what I try to do, and I've done it quite successfully in many places. And individually, especially in homes and people's small areas, it's real easy to do that, and I'll go into a home and I'll help heal it, but not because I push the spirit away and bless the house and go away and everybody, don't bother them. It's actually because I move the spirit on so that the spirits don't come back in.
If you can't, what happens? Is there any fallback?
No, there's no fallback. It just continues. It just continues. And you know, I guess every so often I've had, well, here's what happened. This was really funny, okay? Chicago had me in one of the Rialto Theater in Joliet, Chicago, is known for two ghosts that sit and watch shows and one ghost that winds up dancing on stage. So they brought me in, I saw them, and I spoke with them. And I tried to move them on, and it was hysterical because the two men that had died there and they're stuck there, they actually want to stay there. They turned around and they tell me, are you kidding me? Tickets to a Broadway show today are up to $200. I get to see everyone for free. I'm going to stay here because I'm having a good time. That's literally what they said to me. They were having a good time. They watched every touring show that came in. The people and the patrons were what? They were all in good moods. So it's really hard-pressed to tell a spirit like that you're going to have a better life moving on.
Huh. Hey, when we come back, Vincent, I want to talk about possessions. How do people get possessed? Why do they get possessed? And then how in the heck do you get rid of whatever entity took them over? I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with Vincent Jenna, whose website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Oh, and we've got Vince Jenna with us, the renowned psychic healer, spiritual teacher. We're going to take your calls with him next hour, so get your questions ready. Okay, welcome back, Vince Jenna with us. Vince, I want to talk a little bit about the possessions, and we'll take calls next hour as well. How does somebody get possessed anyway? Are they weak? Are they drunk? What happens to them?
They decide that they're capable of running the biggest world nation, and they run for presidency and become president. That's how they become possessed. Because right now,
Vince,
we have the most possessed person in my belief.
Let's not talk politics tonight.
I know, really. In there. No, what it is, it's about a person's negativity, right? First, a good person running around, a positive person, is not going to become possessed, is not going to have some attachment, some negative spirit following him or her. So you're negative to start with. You have all of this anger. You have all of this resentment inside of you, right? That sends out red flags. So it's the same thing, again, as the water cooler theory is that you start complaining, you start feeling bad, you're going to draw people to you that's going to exacerbate what you're feeling. So now you've got this person, and they're feeling miserable in their lives, and I hate life, I hate this group, I hate this, my job. And so that energy now puts that red flag out, and you've got these negative lost souls all around, and they start being attracted to that negativity. So now you've got one or two of these spirits that are following you around because misery enjoys company. So you're miserable, mm-hmm. And you've got this miserable spirit. I mean, don't we commiserate with each other in the living? Don't we get on the phone, we're talking to our best friend? Oh, I can't believe it, what my boss did today. And, oh, yeah, your friend is saying, oh, he's terrible, you should quit your job or whatever. And so it winds up exacerbating the feeling. So now you've got that lost spirit standing right next to you, and they literally can become attached to that. That's where the so-called attachments are. It really is your own negativity being exacerbated by other spirits. And then rather than, people would like to think that this spirit comes into your body and occupies your space. No, it doesn't. It just, you bring out the worst of your own negativity. You create your own demons, and literally you become possessed by yourself. And the other souls around you are just feeding into that and exacerbating that. So they don't take over you. We would like to think that, because that way we have excuses. Oh, the devil made me do it, literally, right? When in actuality, it's your own inner demons, and then you've got a rally of this group of negativity around you. So it's kind of like an inner circle of negativity in your life, just walking around, going from place to place to place to place. But it's you. And it's your demons that are mostly possessing you, and it's the other spirits that are feeding into that. So you got a double whammy going on. That's how the process actually works.
How do you get rid of this demon or whatever it is?
Garlic cloves. That's what I heard. I mean, you hang them around your neck.
That's
what they used to do back in the old days.
That's for vampires.
Yes, I know, but it's also for evil spirits. They use garlic for everything. It gets rid of everybody.
Are you serious?
No, I'm not. I'm joking.
Darn, Vince.
Believed in. No, George, here's the funny thing about that. People believed in all crazy things, right? They used to hang everything. They used to cut off animal heads and put that.
Oh, yeah. They used to hang people.
Yes, absolutely. And that was going to get rid of the negativity. And so, yeah, to a certain extent, I'm joking. But no, I'm not. That's exactly what people believed. You have to reverse what caused the possession. So there is positiveness that needs to come back in. You need to have somebody to help you with that a lot of the times. It's just like today, just a person who's depressed, the person who has a lot of anxiety, they need to go to somebody to help talk them out of that, to help them see the light rather than the darkness all the time. So a possessed person is going to need a lot of love, a lot of positive interaction, and sometimes it's really difficult, because you know how you can, the most positive person could be near a negative person, and instead of the negative person becoming positive, the positive person becomes negative.
Right, they get taken in.
Well, it's the same thing. Now you've got a possessed person, right? And so they're all negative, they're all fired up, and by the way, you know, being possessed, your head doesn't spin around and you don't spit out green peas.
But it was sure a great effect, wasn't it?
It is. Oh, my gosh, it was. It scared me, that's for sure. One of the scariest movies I have ever seen in my life when I was growing up. We dramatized that for effects, but a person can respond that horribly, you know, inside. And so there has to be people that are strong enough and loving enough to embrace this person, to be around this person all the time, to reinforce the positive in this person. So it could take a lot of work. First, it takes a lot of work to really find a positive person today. I would love to say, this is, now I'm not Negative Nelly over here, George. You know me long enough.
You're normally very positive.
Exactly, and very empowering. But I'm also, I can see the negativity and I can point it out. That doesn't make a person negative. So today, it's been really difficult to find very, very positive people because, like I said, you could start out positive, but then all your different experiences in life can bring you to the negative side, right? So you need somebody to help that's going to be strong enough and positive enough and loving enough and tapped into their higher source. So that they, and typically that's what was thought of as a priest or a minister, okay?
All right.
But priests and ministers are not necessarily tapped into their spiritual side any more than you or I, George. I actually feel you are more capable of conducting an exorcism, shall we say, and helping a person because there's such a strong positive connection and attachment to you that sometimes ministers have their own issues going on.
Just
because they're teaching stuff from the Bible doesn't make them spiritually aligned.
Wasn't there always a fear from the priests in exorcisms that the demon would get them or harm them?
Oh, absolutely. Their belief alone in the demon is what put them in a fearful state. So here I'm talking about the most positive person needs to be able to help the most negative person. So now you've got somebody coming in who's already formed beliefs based on fears. That doesn't make the most positive person. And quite honestly, in the past, it's one of the reasons why so many priests were taken up by the negativity of the other person because they weren't strong enough. They weren't positive enough. And so they want to believe that it was the demon overtakes them and the demon is powerful. We have dominion over everything, and that's including anything that's negative. If you stay positive, you will always overpower anything negative that comes your way. We know that. We've seen that time and time again. However, if you have hidden negatives, if you have hidden fears and doubts that you're not paying attention to, then being around another negative person is going to bring it out in you. And that's what actually happened back in those days when they were conducting exorcisms. Like I said, sometimes the minister was just as negative as the person who supposedly became possessed. And so they wind up being affected by that negativity, and it overpowers them. We dramatize it and we make it sound like it was the demon that did that. It wasn't their demon that did that. It was your own demon. It was that minister's demon that came out. Okay? So another person's weaknesses and negativity can bring out your own. That's, again, if we go back to what's happening, the pure example of that is what's happening in the world today. It's bringing out all the negative stuff that's happening, all this killing, all the bombings, all of the trying to protect us, right? It's actually bringing out everybody else's demons. So it's not creating them. It's not instilling them. It's bringing them out. So only the positive can heal the negative. And there are a lot of positive people.
Well, let me ask you this, Vincent. What are the demons? Where are they coming from? What are they?
We are created in the image of the source, whatever you want to call the source. All right, a lot of people call it all different things. I call it God. Okay,
right.
So the way God created us was by becoming us. So literally, we are created in its image. So we're all powers, being, God. Okay? Now, as a power and having free will, you have the choice of using that power, just like the movie Star Wars, okay, that George Lucas created.
Mm-hmm.
You have the power to use it for the light side or use it for the dark side. Okay? We're so powerful, George, we can absolutely create another being that appears in front of us instantaneously, just the same as we can create our own angels. You know all the stories that you hear of spontaneous angels appearing for somebody?
Yes, great stories. We get them all the time.
Wonderful, but what people have to understand is part of that is true, where there are actual, our higher brothers and sisters will come down to try to help us and then go back. But the majority of those stories are us creating our own angels, because that's how powerful we are. And if we're capable of creating our own angels, we're also capable of creating our own demons, and actually have them appear in front of us. We are not victims to anything, but we are small gods, and we're learning how to use our powers. That's the reason why we come to Earth. We're trying to experience ourselves and what we know. And so now life catches up to you, and things go wrong, and you've got all of this negativity, and you keep attracting to you through the law of attraction other negative people, and it keeps compounding your own negativity. And no matter where you go, something negative happens. People who tell me they're walking around and they feel that there is this negative energy coming and following them. Yes, we just talked about possessions, and that could be possible, but you're actually more unconscious of those negative energies. The ones you're really conscious of are usually you.
What do these negative demons want with the individual? Are they trying to ruin their life?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. The ones that are real, that are around these negative energies, misery enjoys company. They're miserable because they're stuck. They're stuck in a plane that is neither here nor there. Nobody hears them other than if they're spooking you. And they want to make you just as miserable as they are. Okay, why do people on Earth constantly share their miserable stories with each other? Right? You see it,
sure.
On Facebook is loaded with it. So they want attention, right? They want you, but they also want you to become as miserable as they are. That's another reason why. I want to bring you down. Why are you telling me this about what you've just been through? And unconsciously, it's about, well, if I can make you miserable, then that means you care. So I want to make you miserable too.
Are these psychic vampires?
Are there psychic vampires? And when you're asking, are there psychic vampires, are you talking about like regular people who with their intuition can suck the life out of you, or real type of energy beings that are called psychic vampires? What are you asking in that question?
Well, you know,
both.
These creatures, whatever they may be, seem to be the product of evil. Is that accurate?
Gotcha. Gotcha. Again, they're the product of you. Everything that you can see happen in the living, George, is an example of what could happen with the dead.
So if somebody's possessed by something evil and demonic, you're saying that they created it?
Most of the time, yes, and it's being exacerbated by some other negatives around them, whether it be living people around them or dead people around them. So they're self-creating it. So now a vampire. I know there are people who absolutely believe that. If that was all true, then we are victims to everything. And the thing that we've learned and need to learn the most on this earth is we're only victims to ourselves. If we were victimized to everything else, there would be no definite ability to grow. There would be no positiveness and reason for really being here, because everything is random. But the law of physics and science shows us nothing on this earth is random. Everything is purposeful, and everything is going according to order. We're the ones that throw it out of order. We're the ones that throw our bodies out of alignment and out of harmony. So therefore, we're the ones that create our own victimization. So we have to then be the ones who create the demons who will attack us, or the reptilians who will suck the brains out of our heads. We're the ones creating that. Otherwise, we'd be victims to everybody else. And that's just not true. I can't believe that. Not in a place of order.
Okay, we're coming back at the top of the hour with Vince Genna, whose website is vincegenna.com, G-E-N-N-A, by the way, vincentgenna.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We'll take your phone calls as well, stories and questions. If you have ever encountered something demonic, or maybe you've been possessed, share that with us too.